I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored. I refuse to be silenced or muzzled. Unafraid. No man will intimidate me. Unstoppable.
And welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. Remember the Baltimore Bridge collapse? Our news cycle is moving so fast that it feels like it could have happened last year. But Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge was struck by a foreign-owned and operated cargo ship and plummeted into the waters below, crippling one of the most important logistical lanes in America. Less than 1 month ago, and while in the immediate wake of the collapse, the story dominated the headlines and the public discourse, it quickly disappeared. People started forgetting all about it, and most importantly, they stopped asking questions. Now, of course, this wasn't before Baltimore's DEI mayor and Maryland's DEI governor and their overseer Joe Biden all had a few grandstanding sessions, doing their best to whip the public into some kind of emotional state where they're desperate for the government to come in and give them a shoulder to cry on and tell them that everything's going to be all right. The mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, who repeatedly addressed the public in a letterman's jacket like he's some guy who can't over being on the high school basketball team, even used the publicity to declare himself a victim of racism, going on Face the Nation to talk about how he's been dealing with a lot of racism because the bridge collapsed, and because the general public, the mere plebs, dared to question what exactly the mayor was going to do about it, aside from talking to the press about abstract social-emotional theories that have nothing to do with America's crumbling infrastructure and wide-open attack vulnerabilities. But then they were gone, and the story fell out of the news for a few weeks. But now the Francis Scott Key Bridge and the Dolly cargo ship are back in the headlines, because the FBI just this week served the 980-foot-long ship with a search warrant. While many details are not yet available, and it's unclear if they will be, the FBI's Baltimore field office says that agents were on the dolly conducting court-authorized enforcement activity. And adding a layer to the search, it came at the same time that the city of Baltimore is filing a lawsuit against the shipping company and his families of the construction workers who were killed in the bridge collapse prepare to file their own suits. There are multiple layers to this, and there's likely a lot that we do not know. From the very beginning, really from the moment that the ship hit the bridge and caused it to collapse on the morning of March 26th, people have been saying that something that doesn't look right about all this. They've been saying that it looks like the ship took a clear, intentional path toward the bridge. They're saying that it doesn't look accidental. Ships have been passing through this port and under this bridge longer than many of us have been alive without incident, and now, on a morning when the waters weren't very busy, and as the backdrop of the country and the world is in total chaos, a cargo ship operated by foreigners just so happens to smash into one of the East Coast's most important bridges, marking just the latest infrastructure disaster. Obviously, this set off red flags, and even more flags went up when reports started trickling out saying that the dolly was not up to par, this was a third world ship with serious electrical issues, and that it should have never been out to sea in the first place. This is a ship that sat in the port of Baltimore for days while the crew and others worked to repair it and try to get its electrical issues solved, we're told, so that they could go on a nearly month-long voyage. And these electrical issues, it's been widely believed, could have had something to do with the crash. We've been told that the ship lost power repeatedly as it steamed toward the bridge, and that it was impossible to avoid the collision. But even though the dolly had electrical issues, this doesn't account for the ship going so far off track that it hit the bridge and caused it to collapse. Video footage of the entire incident shows the ship's crew appearing to make little to no effort to correct the ship's course as it sailed straight for the bridge. Take a look. It's worth a refresher. It's unbelievable. And it's still unbelievable that this thing has fallen out of the news cycle, that that event is not on every TV screen every single day. The crew had far more time to get this ship back on track before the situation became irreversible, but they didn't. And while the FBI says that it will be able to access the data on the ship, painting a far more detailed picture of the moments both right before and right after the dolly hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge, does anyone really believe that the FBI will give us the truth? They make a living framing the American people for crimes they didn't commit and shaking down grannies who showed up to protest election fraud on J6. So why would we believe that they'll be forthcoming about a major disaster that could have serious political implications, not just for powerful unions and local politicians, but for Joe Biden, who's presided over an unprecedented period of infrastructure freefall nationwide? This is the same federal government that didn't even pay a visit to East Palestine, Ohio, in the wake of one of the biggest ecological disasters in modern history, and in yet another sketchy accident that many people believe was intentional, setting all those chemicals on fire. That's the track record we're dealing with here. The precedent has been set, and just like everything else that happens in this country and involves this government, we're going to have to do our own research and spearhead our own investigations if we're ever going to get a picture of what really happened in Baltimore on that day in March. For more discussion on this, we're joined now by John Miller. John, welcome back to the Stu Peters Show, sir.
Good to see you, Paul. You know, I'm so happy that the FBI could just finally take a break from harassing white men for posting memes on the internet to actually come and investigate this. But as you were saying, who really thinks we're going to get the full picture from them? I mean, you could look back to the Nashville shooting with the transgender in Nashville. They covered up that manifesto. They wouldn't let the American people see the manifesto. You look at the shooting from, what was it, 6 years ago now in Las Vegas that we still don't have the information on. January 6th, after there's literal evidence of them going in and instigating on the ground, what does the FBI do? They come in and they start rounding up Americans and trying to throw them in jail. You have all the stuff that they did during the Trump administration from James Comey onward through Hayes and all of these people that they've just been working to essentially target President Trump. And now, and then there's COVID and there's the biolabs and then there's them gaslighting us and telling us that's not the cause, only to quietly come out when it was irrefutable that COVID was caused by a Chinese biolab for them to come and say, okay, maybe that was the cause. So the FBI, there's footage of them coming onto this ship and saying, oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this. I think you had it exactly right. I don't think the FBI, we can really expect to get anything from them.
Yeah, and the idea that they're going to come on, or do something about this, I mean, it's been 2-3 weeks or whatever it's been. I mean, the time to investigate would have been immediately after that. And, you know, that and the FBI to me just kind of seems like the men in black from the movie, you know, with Will Smith. They're literally there to just wipe away everybody's memory. Like, we're going to cover this up. That's essentially what they are at this point, because you have Lara Logan out there who immediately said her intelligence sources said, hey, this was a cyber attack, that this ship was hacked. This ship was intentionally steered. It was done by one of our enemies. It was a crippling blow. And there's no way they want to admit that. I mean, we had the government, they came out the morning after this happened, a mere hours after this happened, the talking heads from our government were going on CNN saying this was not terrorism. How could they possibly know that quick? How could they possibly know this wasn't terrorism?
All there was Rebel. They hadn't listened to the black boxes yet. There was barely footage of the event. There certainly weren't different angles. They hadn't talked to anyone on the ship. There's no way to make that conclusion. It's like, you know, when you have a lie and you to cover up the lie, you basically have to say, oh, it wasn't this. You walk into the house and say, I didn't steal the cookies from the cookie jar, even though no one asked you, did you steal the cookies from the cookie jar? I mean, that's what that sounds like to me. And then the diversion with the DEI mayor, just all of a sudden the conversation is redirected back to what our overlords want us to talk about, which is, you know, racism and prejudice and diversity. And that's what the conversation became the day after.
Well, you know, the opportunity here, obviously, for them is to, when this bridge is eventually rebuilt, to not name it the Francis Scott Key Bridge, right? I mean, because of course, he probably owned slaves or something, right?
Right. What is going to be MLK Bridge too?
Yeah, and that would go right. I mean, isn't Baltimore one of the most violent cities in America? Yep. Isn't there an old Chris Rock joke that says?
I wonder why.
There's an old Chris Rock joke that says, "I don't care where you are, if you're on a Martin Luther King Boulevard, there's some violence going around." So, But so the black box they got had 2 minutes, minute and a half or 2 minutes of just it was gone, like. That they didn't have the information. Yep. They have data missing for 2 minutes right before the crash. So what does the FBI actually think they're going to do here? I mean, this is going to be whatever they find, it's going to be absolute lies. And nobody, can you address this, John? I mean, we are in the midst, I've talked about this many times, we're in the midst of a cascading failure of confidence in every institution, you know, from dog catcher all the way up to President of the United States. And so, I mean, the FBI... We don't trust them. You know, they are essentially Joe Biden's personal police force. But we don't trust any of these institutions, the mainstream media, all of it. I mean, they're out there to actively lie to the American people. And the amount of Americans that actually trust these people is dwindling quickly. And so you just wonder, their mask has come off. Like, they know that a lot of Americans know that they actually hate us. And they're lying on it. They're giving us bad information, you know, hoping we make faulty decisions based on that faulty information to ruin our lives. So I guess I don't see how the genie gets put back in the bottle. This phony idea of decency. I mean, where do we go from here?
I think that's absolutely right. Because you know what happened? The FBI comes with their conclusion. They feed it to the media. The media gives it to the president. The president makes an official proclamation. Here's what's happened. And then independent journalists, independent investigators like you, like me, like Stu, whoever, goes on the internet, goes on to X, goes on to Facebook, whatever it is, and says, oh, maybe I'm not so sure about this. And then the tech giants come in. And the tech giants say, well, that you know, you're spreading misinformation. You can't talk about this. We're going to ban you. We're going to censor you. They've got it completely on lock, the system. And so I agree. I don't quite know where we go from here, because you're right. It is every single institution, and without sounding like a crazy radical, which is just dismantle it all. I don't really see what other options there are. You know, there's parallel economies, which has some promise, but it really all needs to be dismantled because you've got the cops involved. These are all institutions that people on the right used to know and love. We used to revere our cops, and the FBI was a strong, you know, we respect our law enforcement, we respect our institutions. That's not the case anymore. We can't trust these people.
Yeah, you're right. And I agree. The options that we have on the table are things like parallel economies and that sort of thing. But if you put yourself in their shoes, you know, they know that their only option is to get more authoritarian. That's really the only option that they have at this point. And that's scary to me. And that's kind of what we're bracing for, you know. Are they going to start putting Christians in boxcars? Are you a domestic terrorist just because you're white, or do you grill out on the 4th of July? Do you like fireworks on the 4th of July? Well, congratulations. You know, you're the greatest threat to this country the world's ever seen. It's ridiculous. I'll give you the last
word, Biden said greatest threat. Biden said we were the greatest threat. And then you have conservatives. That's what's even worse. You have conservatives. I just saw Joel Berry on X, who's at the Babylon Bee, talking about how white extremism, white domestic terrorism is just exactly what the left wants. And he's blaming the same people that the Biden administration have been blaming. You see it more recently on the right trying to disavow the far right and what they call, and Christians, basically what they're calling anti-Semites and racists and all of these names. They're using the exact same playbook. And so if you don't have people to fight against this, it's not just going to envelop the left and the authoritarian left, which we're used to. It's seeping on over to the right. And so that's it. That's what concerns me the most. And so I'm grateful for people like you and me who are out there actually holding the line.
And tell people where people can follow you on Twitter or X or whatever.
You can go at Twitter X. It's at Miller Stream.
All right.
And I post all my links there and everything. So you can go follow me on that.
I'll John Miller, appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
All right, folks, I'm Paul Harrell filling in for Stu. This is the Stu Peters Show. Don't go anywhere.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. and then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. Times are uncertain, to say the least. And being prepared right now is more crucial than it ever has been before, which is why I'm here to tell you about this incredible offer from our trusted partner, American Reserves. For the entire month of April, American Reserves is offering you, the Stu Peters community, free 72-hour kits with any purchase. You heard that right. Free product with any purchase, no matter how many purchases. All you need to do is use code STU72 at checkout, because at American Reserves, it's not just about selling products. It's about ensuring that you and your loved ones are safe and prepared. This is your one-stop shop for high-quality, long-shelf-life emergency food, top-tier water filtration products, and essential survival gear. And they understand the value of being prepared without breaking the bank at American Reserves. To help make your family readiness even more accessible, American Reserves offers Shop Pay that allows you to get the products immediately and pay later. That means that you can secure your family's safety right now, today, and pay in small, manageable installments. No stress, no compromise on quality. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit AmericanReserves.com right now, grab your free 72-hour emergency kit with any purchase, and take a smart step toward being prepared. With American Reserves and Shop Pay, you're not just preparing for emergencies, you're investing in peace of mind. The American Reserves team are my friends. I trust them with my own family's preparedness. They're true Christians and patriots, and they help support my work. Go to the good people right now at AmericanReserves.com and use the code STU72 to check out and prepare your family.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. Well, the deep state's favorite political persecution is going strong in New York City as jury selection is underway in 45th President Trump's phony hush money trial in the borough of Manhattan, where this case is being run by a communist DA Alvin Bragg and foreign-born judge Juan Merchan. So far this week, it's been announced that President Trump is going to be forced to appear in court for every day of his legal proceedings, including the jury selection process and the entire trial and any hearings in between, in what's obviously an election meddling and interference tactic designed to keep him off the campaign trail. These people are trying to keep him tied up in court. They're trying to keep him off the battlefield so that he can't communicate with the American people. The more stadiums that Trump packs out in battleground states, the worse for these people. They're political operatives. And it's important to remember that that's all they are. This isn't a legitimate legal proceeding. They're trying to silence the 45th president of the United States. They've already gagged him and threatened to throw him in jail if he says the wrong thing about the case. They've already made it so that he can't discuss a central campaign issue when he's on the campaign trail, because they'll say that in some way, in twisted way, it'll interfere with the trial. And now they're just taking him off the campaign trail altogether. And of course, being that this is going on in deep blue New York City, assembling a non-biased jury could prove extremely difficult, and it may not happen at all. Thus far, a handful of prospective jurors have been selected, and a laundry list of them have been tossed. But even among those who've made it through the initial selection process, the Trump legal team says it's found politically charged anti-Trump social media posts, and they're reportedly taking issue, especially with juror number 6, who posted on Facebook about how to, quote, beat Trump in 2024, end quote, which is what this entire sham is all about, isn't it? It's all been set up to coincide with the election and drive Trump off the rails. The timing is no accident. This has been in the works since 2016, and it's been in overdrive mode ever since Trump left the White House, when he became fair game to Soros-funded prosecutors all over the country like Alvin Bragg. And they spent years getting all their ducks in a row, all their dominoes in line, so that they could run this trial in the heart of a presidential election year. Pastor Mark Burns is a Republican candidate in South Carolina. He's been endorsed by Donald Trump, and he joins us now to share more. Pastor Burns, it's great to see you again, sir.
So happy to be here, my brother. Thanks for having me.
I mean, this is election interference, right? I mean, that's exactly what this is.
Absolutely election interference. I mean, clearly, the handlers of Joe Biden, Uncle Joe, Sleepy Joe Biden, understand that Joe Biden is such a desperate candidate that he is so out of tune to the American people that he is physically unable to defeat Donald Trump head on, one-on-one, through policies, that they have to unleash their banana republic, Nazi, Gestapo, excuse me, that's the right term I want to use, the Gestapo, DOJ, on the leading Republican candidate for president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And they don't understand what they're doing. They're literally just throwing fuel on a already fire that's burning. Do you think that putting Donald Trump in jail will stop the Make America Great Again movement? I mean, literally, what happened is I will akin them putting Donald Trump in jail as to what they did to Nelson Mandela during the height of the apartheid movement in South Africa, when they jailed him and made him a freedom fighter even more, to go off to become the first black president of a very racist South Africa of that time. That's exactly what will happen to Donald Trump, because he literally is speaking. There's 80 million Americans behind him. You got to understand that. 80 million Americans that are going into court with President Donald Trump doing these Biden show trials. That's exactly what this is, the Biden show trial. So the American people aren't fooled by what is happening. But again, I think they should just let Donald Trump alone and let him run a normal campaign. But instead, they just keep reelecting him over and over and over again, because the American people are seeing right through this.
It's interesting that you use the Nelson Mandela analogy, because I think that's appropriate, especially if they were to actually, you know, put him in jail. I frequently call him the president in exile, because I know that he won the election in 2020. He's the one that got 80 million votes, you know, not Joe Biden. So I definitely, Pastor Mark Burns, I find that very appropriate. That seems to be where we are. The question here is, why do they continue weaponizing the government against him when it only makes him stronger? It only galvanizes support. Even in the wake of a lot of us, you know, a lot of us abortion abolitionists or people in the pro-life movement been discouraged by some of his comments that he made, you know, last week. But even still, we recognize that, you know, this guy is literally he's a victim of this banana republic that's going after him, trying to stop him, trying to jail him for being the agent of change that he is. I mean, they're clearly terrified of a second Trump administration.
Well, I mean, absolutely terrified, because once again, President Donald Trump has broken up the powers that be that have been controlling America for such a long time, the small elite rich that he said he was once a part of. He said, I know the system. He said, I know exactly how it works. And he's breaking that up by putting the power back into the hands of the people. And how is he doing that? He is saying exactly what millions of Americans have been saying privately. He's been bold enough to say publicly. And it has galvanized the normal, regular American, not the elitist, not the 1%, not the donor class in the political cycles or the political elections, but the everyday Joe, normal, basic, like me, American, who is not so much politically involved, but you know that when you go to the grocery store, the food is expensive now. You know that illegals are flooding our borders and they're taking jobs all left and right, right and left. I know that when we go into certain parts of America, they don't even speak English. And I think this is something that we have to really, really, really look into. The fact that you go into certain parts on American soil and they are burning American flags while holding up a Mexican flag or a foreigner's flag that is not the one and true Old Glory American flag. I think that you have to take a look at the strategy of what the Democrats and Joe Biden is doing. So regular Americans are seeing this. Now, that's not racist to say, hey, you know, if you want to come to America, you can come to America. This is why I imposed the Ellen Alice Project, and we need to go back and revisit the 14th Amendment and look at exactly what Senator Howard argued when he helped frame and write the 14th Amendment, when he argued it on the floor. It's in black and white. It's surprising to me that we're not going back and reading what Senator Howard actually said. And he made it very clear that if you are born on American soil and your parents have allegiance to another country, you are not an American citizen. But somehow that's got messed up and twisted in a liberal court, and they have taken the words of one of the framers of the 14th Amendment in 1865, and they created their own version. If you're born in American soil, then that makes you an American citizen. We need to block that immediately. We need to stop giving our social free programs to illegals, cut them off immediately. We need to deport them and have them go and come back the right way. They have to be able to speak English. They have to have again, we go back to the Ellis Island of how immigrants initially came into America. They came through the Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty, and they was processed that day. So when Americans see that basic things that are happening, that's what Donald Trump did. And he galvanized the local regular American, and they're showing up the polls in droves to support him.
You mentioned deportations, and so, you know, my ears perk up when I hear that. That's the only solution at this point. I mean, we're talking conservative estimate, 7 million. It's probably like 11, 15.
Yeah, 15.
You know, and they're violent military age men, not to mention the Chinese that are coming across as well. And I mean, this is if Donald Trump can get elected again. And again, that's another can of worms because of the stolen election of 2020. And, you know, we don't know. We just really don't know if that's going to happen. We say a prayer. I pray every day that this Tower of Babel 2.0 system they're constructing stops and the Lord intervenes and has mercy on us. But, I mean, we're talking about a deportation operation, the likes of which this country has never seen. Trump would have to empower, I feel like, the states, the red states that would be with him to do this. I mean, you're talking about a massive operation. If you thought the media went crazy in the first term, think about what they'll do if we actually start to deport these people.
Well, I mean, listen, it's real simple. You take the 87,000 IRS agents, the armed IRS agents that Joe Biden was going to use on the American people, right? And we take 87,000, peacekeeping, immigrant agents, and we authorize them to identify these people and have them escorted off of the property here. I call it escort the property, but have them deported from American sovereignty, and then have those that have the ability to come back the right way. Again, I think that if there is a wall in heaven, if there is a gate, we call it the pearly gates in heaven, right? And not everybody can go there. There has to be certain qualifications to enter inside the heavenly gates. And so part of the number one way to enter into the heavenly gates, the pearly gates, the Bible says, is the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept him as our Lord and Savior. John chapter 3, verse 16. So we know without a shadow of a doubt, if heaven has a gate, if heaven has qualifications to enter it, to accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, knowing that he died on the cross and he rose 3 days later, three days later, and he's coming back again for his church, we the church, then there should be a wall or a gate here in the United States of America, because the wall and the protection of our border is what makes us a sovereign land. And if we are a sovereign country, then we should therefore have a border. If we have a border, then there should be a way to protect that border. It is not racist. It is not inhumane. It is actually more humane to help those innocent children who are getting sex trafficked right here in America. They come across the border and they've been sold into sex slavery right now in America. They're getting raped and molested, and the drugs that are coming over, and they're not all coming from Mexico. Let's be clear. We're not attacking Mexico. We're talking about that fact that we're having terrorists that are showing up on the terrorist watch list, and they're being captured at the border because the whole world knows, because of Uncle Joe, Sleepy Joe Biden's weak immigration policy, that the southern border is a way to enter America. And so that's got to be a stop to. And again, that's why I know Donald Trump will be the next president. Again, the RNC and Donald Trump campaign, they're working hand in hand. The RNC was always fighting Donald Trump prior to, right? That's why I'm happy my dear friend Laura is the co-chairwoman. And they are working hand in hand. They're not working against Donald Trump. For the first time ever, the power of the RNC and the power of the Trump campaign, they're working very closely together. And that means, as you heard Laura said, we're going to have, we're going to harvest some ballots. We're going to do it early. We're going to have poll watchers watching these, watching so that they don't do what they did before. We're going to make it difficult for them to maneuver or make whatever maneuver that they did before to steal the election from the president this time.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you said about the heaven having a border. That's exactly right. You know, and I know you know, Pastor, the Bible says that Christ will inherit the nations. So, you know, a border is implied in nations. And we're dealing with people, just on a slightly different note, I mean, we're dealing with people that would call God a bigot for having standards and for having, you know, and you would almost think these people, when Jesus does come again, these radical, you know, wicked people would dare to hand him a quota list and say, well, you better have an equal amount of white people, black people, Mexican people. You better have an equal amount of those people, you know, led into heaven or somehow that's not going to be fair. I mean, that's the mindset of the people that we're dealing with, Pastor Mark Burns. I want to talk briefly before we go about your candidacy. How's it going there in South Carolina? I know you're trying to represent the people of your district.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm very grateful, very thankful for President Donald Trump's total and full endorsement. You'll have other candidates in the race, the 3rd Congressional District of South Carolina. You know, they try to associate themselves with Donald Trump, and, you know, they have pictures with them, and, you know, and people are trying their best to do that. But there's only one candidate that President Donald Trump has endorsed, has said, I want him to replace the retiring Jeff Duncan, and that is Pastor Mark Burns. President Donald Trump has gave him his total and full endorsement, and he's got his eyes on the 3rd Congressional District because I've proven myself to not cower down to the attacks that come. I'm not a rhino. I've been with President Trump, as he said, out of his own mouth from the very beginning. And so there are others that may, of course, it's every candidate who, especially in South Carolina, wants to associate themselves with Donald Trump because South Carolina is Donald Trump country. And this particular district, the 3rd Congressional District, is the tip of the spear of the Donald Trump presidency. But again, there's only one candidate that Donald Trump has selected to be his representative and to represent the people of the 3rd Congressional District of South Carolina, and that is myself, Pastor Mark Burns. The campaign is going amazing. We just got our new campaign bus. It says endorsed by President Trump on the sides. I got his picture and I on the back of it. I mean, the team is going together. We're leading the race right now, and that's heavily due to the fact that my friend, since 2015, Donald J. Trump, has gave me his personal endorsement.
Real quick, should transing kids, you know, whether chemical castration, you know, the surgeries, the genital mutilation surgeries, should we make that child abuse under
Absolutely.
The child abuse statutes?
100%. It is child abuse. And I've said it before, there's no such thing as trans kids. There are sick parents who are pushing that ideology onto their children, right? If you are a sick individual parent, right, and your child who knows no difference between a girl dress and a boy's jeans, and he's a boy, and you're telling him he's okay for him to wear a dress, you're the one pushing that ideology on an innocent mind that doesn't know left and right. You're the parent, you're the guide, right? And yet it's sick parents who are pushing that ideology onto children, and people are getting it. I mean, again, just like the women's organization Next, right, NSXT, who banned men from participating in their female golfing organization because there was a trans man, a trans woman. I'm not quite sure what you call him, but he was a man who dressed up like a woman, and he had competed in this female golf tournament before, and they banned him on Women's International Day. I'm proud of those organizations like that. Again, we're not here to, you know, to discriminate or to attack. If that's how you want to live, you do that, but keep it out of the public schools. And let me say that to this, because the mainstream, the last time I was on the show, the mainstream media cut up my words by saying I'm asking for the execution of gays and transgenders in America. That is a complete, absolute lie. So I have family members who identify with that community. And so I don't want them dead. I want them saved. I want them healed. I want their lives restored in the way that God made them, just like me. My life, I am, as Paul said, a chief sinner. He said, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a chief of sinners. And I feel like I'm the same way, like all of us Christians. But we're saved by grace and grace alone. But we also have repentance. We turn from our evil lifestyles. And so my sins are no different from that community, the LGBTQ community, the alphabet community. But the Bible says that we should desire to live a holy, repentant lifestyle. And so that's my issue. When you push that agenda in the public school systems, but yet push out prayer in this public school systems, no, sir, no, ma'am. We won't sit by that.
It's putting children on a path to hell, and I agree with you. Where can people find out more about your campaign if they want to know more?
All the true patriots that is watching this show, go to markburns.org. Help send me to Congress. Help allow me to support President Trump in the next election that's coming up. We got to fight. We need to have strong Republicans, not weak rhinos, in the office. So markburns.org. Go there quickly. Donate. Help me get there.
Pastor Burns, it's great to see you again, sir. Good luck to you, and God bless.
Thank you so much.
Folks, this is the Stu Peters Show. We'll be back here in just a moment.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation. Or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from GoldCo. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call GoldCo today, 855-706-GOLD. You know, there's just a lot of tired people out there. People are exhausted. People are hitting that snooze button and then slamming their heads right back down on the pillow every morning. If you think about it, with all of the problems that you have to take care of at work and at home, with your family, with your friends, it's no wonder that you feel so tired. You take care of a lot of different things. But if you really stop to think about it, who takes care of you? Magnesium Breakthrough is an all-natural supplement. It helps me reduce fatigue and sleep more peacefully. It's even strengthened my muscle, it improved my heart and brain function, and while most magnesium supplements aren't full spectrum, Magnesium Breakthrough is the only magnesium supplement on the market that contains the optimal ratio of all seven essential types of magnesium. Imagine having the strength and energy to get out of bed every morning and face the day boldly and courageously, to be able to show up as your best self, to keep that energy up through the day and into the night. So if you want to feel more energized, if you want to get the best night's sleep that you've had in forever, check out bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. By using the promo code Stu Peters, you'll unlock all kinds of special offers. So two things to remember, bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters, and then use promo code Stu Peters. You'll be amazed at how much better you feel by taking Magnesium Breakthrough.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So we've been learning a lot lately about just how gay, demented, and perverted the music industry is, especially the rap and hip-hop industry. And we've covered, Stu has covered, on this program before, Sean Diddy Combs has been identified in multiple lawsuits as essentially the black version of Jeffrey Epstein, a sexual enforcer and compromiser who allegedly worked within the rap industry alongside powerful Jewish executives and his fellow cosplayers to seize control of young and talented artists. And, you know, when I say these guys like Diddy and company are cosplayers, I mean that they're pretending to be gangsters. I mean, they're pretending to be tough guys. They're like the last bastion of acceptable masculinity that can be disseminated out there, but you have to be black and have to be a gangster or a rapper. We've been told forever that these rappers are thugs and macho men who came straight off the block and live by the sword or down the barrel of a gun. We're told that they've been pulled right out of some inner city gang war, or that they're veterans of the war on drugs, and perhaps no rapper has had more of a street thug legend constructed around him, we now know, than Tupac Shakur. This guy even had Thug Life tattooed across his stomach. He was supposedly killed in a rap-related gangland shooting, and 30 years later, his music is still some of the most popular rap music out there. We'll put music in quotation marks. But resurfaced video footage has been making the rounds lately, and it shows Tupac as a young art student. An actor, actually. It shows him as a total fairy. He's dressed up to dance as a ballerina. He's got a leotard on. He's talking like a gay man and prancing around in a leotard. But just a few years later, a few years from this video you're about to watch, he was carrying guns and rapping and being portrayed as the biggest gangster, the wildest thug in America. Take a look at this video and take a look at who Tupac Shakur really was, and then ask yourself if this is just some sample size and if it shows that the rap industry is just a hoax, a bad boy fantasy concocted by a bunch of homosexuals.
Okay, my name is Tupac Shakur, and I attend Tampa Pi High School, and I'm 17 years old.
Okay. Do you like being
17? It's like 17 is such a weird age. It's such a in the middle age. You're not 18 yet, and you're older than 16. So. But I like it. It's nice. It's like a learning stage for me.
Do you wish you could be 18 and when you get some more rights?
Well, 18 will bring lots of responsibilities that I don't want, but it'll bring respect that I feel like that's the only way I can get it. You know, I try to be as mature as I can be and demand it wherever I can get it, but 18 is like, you're an adult. You like today when I had to sign the release form, I felt so bad because I couldn't sign it myself. I had to go and get my mother's and all that, but 18 is, it's just society's way of saying that you're ready. But 17, like, I think I'm ready now, as ready as I'm gonna be in this world. But so it's okay. I guess 17 is all right.
Right. Well, how do you think you're most like your mom?
I'm most like my mom because I'm arrogant. Totally arrogant. I agree. I have to say it. Like, at work, I can't hold a job. I just quit my job today, actually, because I wanted to come and do this. And they wouldn't let me. And I felt like it was important. And it was more important than serving pizza, and we had enough people, so I felt like since I'm an actor, they should understand. They should have let me do it, but they didn't. And then I had a cold, so they were making me work in a freezer. And I'm really not one to be disrespected, and I felt like that was disrespectful because I asked to go, you know. So I quit, and he told me I couldn't quit, and that even made me hyper. I'm arrogant, so when he told me I couldn't quit and we had all these customers, I chose that time to jump on a soapbox, grab my leather jacket, light a cigarette in front of him, smoke and leave in the middle of a rush. So that was natural. That's arrogance at the top. That's what I think I'm most like my mother. And she likes it. She'll see it in me and know it. And we clash a lot because I'm arrogant, she's arrogant. And you should see us when we get in our little attitude moves.
You know, in full disclosure, he wasn't in a leotard in that video, as I said earlier, but he did take ballet. It was clear from that he identifies as an actor that one of the most, you know, hard thug life rappers ever was really just a theater kid. And, you know, it's not just the gangster rap side of things that's just full of flaming gays. It permeates the music industry, especially the hip-hop or pop scenes. Just a couple of days ago at the Wicked, you know, Satanic Coachella, there was some pretty grotesque video footage that came out showing longtime Diddy associate Justin Bieber getting humped by Jaden Smith, you know, the son of notorious cuckold Will Smith. They were dry humping and kissing each other in public in the company of other guys who just didn't seem fazed by it at all. They just stood there watching, acting like it was totally normal. See for yourself. Does anyone want to explain that? What is this? What is going on? I mean, this has been going on, quite frankly, in the music industry for a long time, but it used to be kept under wraps, you know, in the closet, or at least they tried to keep it under wraps. Now it's all out in the open. Like every other segment of our society, the music and entertainment industries are just publicly perverted. Now they want you to know how disgusting they really are. They want your kids to know. David Corbo is a friend of the Stu Peter Show, and he joins us now to share more. David, what are your thoughts on all of this? I mean, it's just, it's incredible. It's quite comical in a way that it just seems like everybody at the top is just secretly gay.
Well, first off, thank you for having me. It does seem that everybody at the top is secretly gay. And what's unbelievable about this is the amount of people that week by week are being unraveled in this sort of big homosexual gangster conspiracy that we're all bearing witness to. It's very strange to me, and I'm figuring out how to place this sort of phenomenon, right? Where you could make a very compelling argument that the hip hop industry is actually manufacturing black culture these days, that where once upon a time, maybe the art form was a reflection of the culture. It certainly seems that it's been hijacked, and now the culture is a reflection of the art form. And something that's very interesting that, like I said, I'm still trying to parse out is, for example, in 2012, the Washington Informer wrote an article that said blacks are more likely to identify as gay than any other group. And I'm sure that there are varying statistics on this, but I think we've gotten to the point now in this story where that seems to be true. A lot of people would argue that LGBTQ is synonymous with black culture. And how do you then put these two things that seemingly are juxtaposed, homosexual activity within the black community and the messaging of gangster rap, which is overt hardness and violence and all of these different...
And objectifying, you know, women sexually. I mean, that's like a key right. component. Like heterosexuality is a key component of gangster rap.
Exactly. And so I'm trying to square in my mind how that message gets twisted on the way to the black community and ends up being disproportionately homosexual. And when you look at the fact that the people that are espousing this message are closeted homosexuals that are blackmailing one another, and it transcends hip hop, to be honest, right? Because we're talking about Will Smith and his affiliation with it. I know recently there has been whispers of even Floyd Mayweather being associated with this. And it seems that the web is ever growing, and it grows in a very specific way. There is one trend that I see through all of this, and it is the apparatus that manufactures culture. It stretches from the music industry that manufactures culture. It stretches into Hollywood that manufactures culture. It has its fingers even in the sports industry that is still hand in hand with these two previous industries. So it's fascinating, Paul, to watch from the outsides all of these people who I would have considered maybe even my childhood heroes, all being the exact antithesis of the thing that they preached to me and my friends growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you, you know, we talk about how and we witness how our politicians are controlled, right? Mm-hmm. They may not be at first, but eventually they get up there, whether it's Jeffrey Epstein-style blackmail or it's just, you know, lobbyists, you know, giving them a bunch of money or whatever. They forget who they are. But the bottom line is they're then used to disseminate messaging and talking points that are based on lies, that are just not true, right? And that's the same thing. You mentioned sports, but, you know, the Hollywood, rap. I mean, they're literally just mouthpieces, and they're disseminating ideas. They're disseminating propaganda designed to, you know, weaken America spiritually, designed to, you know, get us to not worship God, you know, get us to destroy our families, get us hooked on drugs or whatever. That's what they're designed to do, and it's just... You know, in the sitcom area, and I've talked about this for a long time, what comes out of these studios for probably for sure 10 years ago was, you know, if you had a white character, he was a bumbling idiot, a bumbling buffoon. You know, he could never the white male character was just a total idiot. Right. But the only masculine character that was allowed would have been like a bald black guy. Okay, this is a form of masculinity that we can accept still at the moment, right? And then, of course, heterosexual couples were dysfunctional. Any gay couple you saw was perfect and had no domestic problems at all, which is, of course, a total lie, right? The monogamy alone is a lie, statistically speaking. And it's all fake. I mean, it's literally all it's all a play. I mean, it's really kind of meta. It's acting within acting, because they are, you know, they're totally putting out stuff that's meant to deceive and destroy the fabric of this country.
I agree, and I think that the thing that everyone needs to keep track of is that we're being handed one message, right? That's kind of the theme of this, is we're being handed one message. But the people that are delivering the message are living in a totally different way. That's the polar opposite of what they're telling us to do. Not only that, but the subliminal backdrop to all of this, and I say it every time I appear on this show, but I say it because it's worth saying, is Satanism. That is the backdrop of everything. The music industry is infamous for injecting it in every way possible within the backdrops of their music videos, the fashion that the artists are adorned in, the messaging just in general. Hollywood is certainly not innocent of this accusation, right? How many movies are filled with satanic subliminal messaging? So we have this really interesting amalgamation of homos pushing satanic agenda. That's really what it is. So the people that are engineering culture are oftentimes, especially at the top, satanic homosexuals. It's incredible. And that sounds like a wild claim, but you only need look at the bread trails for it, the breadcrumb trails.
So I wrote a card game called Left Wing Will and the Red Pill. And in it, I wrote a card called, it just says old school homosexuals that have the decency to keep their sodomite ways a secret. And the whole basis of that was, back in the day, you didn't hear about any of this stuff, right? But now it's not shameful, right? People wonder why it's not shameful for a politician to get caught in a lie. They lie all the time. Nothing ever happens. Well, it's because if it's okay for sodomy, if sodomy is publicly accepted, then telling a lie, I mean, come on. Well, so I've started thinking recently about this whole trans phenomenon in the wake of these reporters out of France who have hard evidence that Macron's wife, okay, Emmanuel Macron, his wife was born a man and is really a man. And stole the identity of her dead sister, or his dead sister, right? And then you start, you know, obviously you look at the Ellen video with Michelle Obama or Mike Obama. You can go back. We've talked about this before. You go back and look at photos of Barbara Bush. So I started to wonder, you know, if homosexuality used to be in the closet, right? And now it's out in the open. And now what's the next step? Well, now people are transing their kids at birth or very young age. So who's to say, David, that this whole thing, like, people have been trans for a very, very long time and nobody has known? And now that if you go back and you look at some of these women, you're like, wow, how was I ever fooled? Those are very masculine features that he has.
It is interesting because we're all in the middle of this sort of this carnival of noticing, right, where all these things are coming to a head. And you say that, who's to say they haven't been like this for a long time? It does feel like that. It feels like they've been like this for a long time. They, as you alluded to before, removed the sort of masculine traditional white characters from our worldview, and they plugged in all these various sort of diversity picks, and those diversity picks had an agenda, but first and foremost, they had to stand in the old positions to make us feel comfortable and then very slowly usher out this new thing. And when you talk about things like this, right, trans elites and satanic agendas and, you know, homosexual blackmail, people get upset and they run to this idea of, well, how could that be? Right? How could that be that all of these people within this industry, if this really does encompass Hollywood and the sports industry and the music industry and the elites and the political positions, how could you keep all those people from spilling the beans? And it's like, guys, we're in the middle right now of finding out that P. Diddy was running a sexual blackmail operation within the industry for 30 years. And so you go, how could they keep it a secret? It was kept a secret for 30 years, and it wasn't even a good secret. The whispers weren't even whispers. They were shouts for the past 30 years. You heard of these things left and right, but they were just dismissed because as a general public, I think that's what we're really great at, is we dismiss things, and then we turn around in the same hand and go, well, how could these people keep it quiet for that long? Here's a perfect example, and I think it's just a great thing to remember. Remember this moment in time. Anytime anyone ever says to you, well, that could never be, because no one would ever keep that secret for that long. 30 years. They built the entire industry around sexual blackmail. Every big artist from Bieber to Usher to P. Diddy, everybody that manufactured culture for the past 30 years was involved in this. And you want to ask how a secret can be kept for that long? There you go.
Yeah. Wow. And it's being fueled by shame and potential embarrassment. You know, that's what, the, you know... That's what blackmail is all about. David Corbo, where can people find your show?
You can find my show, Nephilim Death Squad, with me and Top Lobster on Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
So Nephilim Death Squad, y'all talk a lot about Genesis chapter 6.
Yeah, that's kind of the crux of our entire operation. Yep. There.
I'm familiar. I appreciate you, David Corbo. Thank you so much for coming on the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Folks, this is the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell filling in for Stu. Thanks for watching.
Heart disease and blood clots and strokes and kidney failure. You hear these things, you think death. These are all deadly, and all of them can be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle as adverse events. On top of all of it, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary pain relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. That's not a solution to your pain. Not only is it ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors. That's why researchers are saying right now to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. I'm talking about omega-3 fatty acids, but not just any form of omegas that you get with regular fish oil at the big box store down the street. No, these are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it outperforms ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have all of those dangerous side effects that we just talked about. For a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now and get your special offer for being a part of this crew, this family. Go to StopMyInflammation.com. Again, that's StopMyInflammation.com.
I would like to reserve this book in your name. It's called No Grid Survival Project, and inside you'll find 75 ingenious do-it-yourself projects that can help you to protect your own family, not only from long-term blackouts or after an EMP, but also in times of economic crisis, riots, hyperinflation, hurricanes, civil war, martial law, or any other unforeseen events that may come our way. This book, the immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent, self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on the government or anyone else for your basic needs. You'll discover things like how to make water out of thin air, the long-lasting survival foods that you can make at home, automatic backyard traps and alarms for looters and intruders, a pressurized rainwater harvester, EMP-proof survival generators, the self-sustaining greenhouse, a simple device that can keep you off of FEMA's radar, do-it-yourself, no-grid air conditioning unit, and a whole lot more. Yes, air conditioning units. Do it yourself. The immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent and self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on anybody else. Go to nogridprojects.com/stew and take advantage of a 75% discount. This book right here, and this offer won't be available for long. That's nogridprojects.com/stew.
I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about. Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.